So given the grief and ambient emotion in Portland, Oregon this week, on Tuesday, Portland's Mayor Ted Wheeler took an extraordinary step.
I'm calling on the federal government to immediately revoke any permit or permits that they've issued for the June 4th event, and I'm asking them not to issue a permit for the June 10th event. Our city is in mourning. Our community's anger is very real. And the timing and subject of these events can only exacerbate what is already a very difficult situation.
Organizers of the June 10th demonstration responded by canceling the anti-Islamic Portland March against Sharia. But the mayor's efforts to silence demonstrations raises longstanding questions about the protections for free speech in the public square and the university campus. Tony M. Massaro is a professor of constitutional law at the University of Arizona James E. Rogers College of Law.
The court has decided that the First Amendment controls up to a certain point. In the case that Portland's dealing with, there are a number of principles that apply. First, hate speech is protected speech. There's no exception. Second, permits for speech can't be denied on the basis of viewpoint, and this denial would likely violate the rule. And third, to your point, there's no general fear of future violence exception to free speech on politically charged topics when expressed in public forums. So we can protect ourselves from violence, but the government is under special scrutiny if it just is anticipating the violence versus waiting to see what happens in the actual speech scene.
Is a mayor of an urban area the size of Portland rationally permitted to use the statistical incidence of civil unrest based on similar speech nearby, around the country, directly in response to the kinds of rallies, et cetera, that are being envisioned here in this June 4th and June 10th event?
I have a lot of sympathy for him, and the evidence may be compelling, but it still is not, as a matter of First Amendment law, sufficient. I think similar evidence probably could have been amassed, say, in the 70s when the neo-Nazi marchers wanted to march in Skokie. We know about the Westboro Baptist Church picketers at deceased soldiers' funerals. Examples abound where government actors like the mayor very responsibly are concerned about the strong likelihood of violence. And everybody knows Portland's grieving and raw, but there are other strategies available to the mayor and to the community, and the First Amendment requires them to exhaust those first.
And time did not ameliorate the notion of grieving for the folks in Skokie, Illinois, who were wearing numbers on their wrists, correct?
And arms, that absolutely correct. And having seen it, you know, it was an extraordinarily, there was no question that the protesters were going there in order to communicate that message to the most potentially vulnerable population, period.
Has the Supreme Court ever explicitly said that it is in fact the responsibility of a mayor in preventing civil unrest to actually enforce the First Amendment?
Implicitly, sure. But I think, you know, they've told us, including the mayor, how we're supposed to respond. You know, there are things Portland can do to reflect the First Amendment value while protecting his people. One is counter speech and facilitating it. The second, and I understand how unsatisfactory these responses may feel to many people, but this is our constitutional commitment, to avert their eyes. Everybody could stay home and let the speakers howl into the wind. They could hold a counter rally elsewhere. The give and take can be fierce on both sides, but it can't include physical violence. In around 1981 in Lincoln Park in Chicago, there was a neo-Nazi rally. And when they appeared for their rally, hundreds of counter-protesters appeared, nonviolent giant puppets and chanting. And you know, I think it was a particularly compelling example of how the community can rally in response to speech with which it vehemently disagrees.
I remember it well. Is your reaction, and this is a perfectly responsible question, I'm not trying to bait you at all, But when something like this happens, I mean, do you say, oh, great, we're going to be testing the First Amendment, or is there something else that happens in your gut that makes you feel like this is something that you wish didn't happen?
When these sorts of things occur, I wish that people were more mindful of the multiple constitutional values at play. The First Amendment is extremely important and has been throughout American history. By the same token, the impact of words and the effect on the community and the effect on the other constitutional hand clapping, which is equality, I would love to see in this context not just a discussion about the First Amendment, which is fundamental, but about the other fundamental values at stake, and see if we could do a better job of engaging in the kind of discourse that the First Amendment in theory is about. So, no, I don't think of this as a happy First Amendment occasion. I do think it's a teaching moment and a sobering one. I mean, look at what's happened to Portland.
Tony M. Massaro is a professor of constitutional law at the University of Arizona James E. Rogers College of Law. She spoke to us from Tucson. Professor, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
This is Jules Harrell from Erie, Colorado. I disagree 100% with what the white nationalists are saying, but free speech is one of the pillars of our democracy. You need only look at the number of other countries that limit free speech and a free press to know that it's a bad idea to put limitations on it. It's just one of the things that we, as a free country, have to live with.
This is Matt from Elkins Park. Violent rhetoric definitely encourages violent action. White nationalist rallies should be shut down by a united front of community members, not allowing them to speak or not allowing them to physically enter a location. They should not, however, be shut down by the government. And it should be noted that First Amendment protection is protection from government interference, not community or crowd interference.
We sure want to hear from you on this one. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or find us on Facebook or Twitter. We're at The Takeaway.